Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. It's easy to get overwhelmed at Easter with the brass, the strings, the processional cross, the choir, all the music, the flowers, celebration of Christ's victory. It's easy to get overwhelmed. But when you listen to the story that Luke tells us of that first Easter, he brings our attention to one thing: remembering. Think of it, that first Easter was a swirl of activity and emotions, probably different emotions than we have today. The women, they come to the tomb bringing spices, and they find that the stone has already been rolled away. And then they come across these men who are dressed in something that looks like lightning. And when these men talk, they know what these women are doing already. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And they know what's happened. He is not here, but has risen. And then these men even know about the women and what's been done and said in their past. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. These men know these women, even though the women have never seen them before. And in the midst of all of this commotion, Luke focuses our attention on one thing. He puts it all together in one simple act. They remembered his words. That's what Luke wants us to know this morning as we celebrate the empty tomb. On that first Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead in the midst of all of this wonder, and in the midst of all of the fear that they had, and in the midst of their worship. But the people responded faithfully by doing one thing. They remembered his word. On Easter morning, God sent those angels to the tomb to help his people, in fact, the women who came there, remember. This morning, he helps us remember as well. God has made this empty tomb that we come to celebrate a place of remembering for us, so that we might truly rejoice in what Christ has done for us. But what kind of remembering is this? Memory does many things. Have you ever noticed how a person, whether friend or foe, can say something to you that changes what's going on in your life? It might simply say something like, "I remember when you used to do this." Or, "Do you remember when?" And in that remembering, as you remember the past, things begin to change. That's the power of memory. But how do things change? This morning I'd like to consider with you two ways that remembering changes our lives. On the one hand, there's a kind of remembering that takes us away from our present and leads us into the world of the past. We encounter this at funerals. The family gathers around the casket, maybe, and then one of them says, "I remember when we used to come over to your house and he would always tell these stories, all these fishing stories. He was great at that. But it was never about the one that got away. It was always about the one that he caught. And then every year that we came, he told the story and the fish got bigger. And pretty soon it was so big you couldn't take a picture of it anymore. And then, even at a funeral, smiles break out. And shoulders relax. And you even hear laughter at a funeral. That's how memory can take you to something in the past and change your life right then. On the other hand, there's another kind of remembering. A kind that takes you out of the present and makes you more fully out of the past and more fully into the present. You see this kind of remembering all the time with grandparents. You take your newborn daughter to her grandpa, maybe the first grandchild, and you give the baby to your dad, and he holds the baby in his arms, and maybe it's a little awkward at first. It's been a long time since he held a baby. But then after a minute or two, he remembers. He remembers how he used to hold you. And all of a sudden, he's cradling the baby in his arms, looking down and whispering those goofy things that he used to whisper to you. Maybe he kisses the baby on the forehead, and he remembers. And as he remembers, he starts to talk about you, how he used to hold you in his arms. That kind of remembering brings him more fully into the present. A different kind of remembering. So, which kind of remembering happens at Easter? At the empty tomb? What happens among us today when God comes along with His Word and helps us remember? Does He take us away from the present and bring us more fully into it? Well, for the women at the empty tomb, remembering the Lord's words brings them more fully into the present. With the words of Jesus, they begin to understand that strange new world that now surrounds them. An empty tomb. And men who dress like lightning. And angels who have been with you your entire life without you knowing it. These things now start to make sense. Jesus had talked about a heavenly kingdom. And then you find out that this world is God's kingdom. And His kingdom has come to us. But what about the pain of the crucifixion? Was all that just a mistake? No. Jesus had told them His betrayal and His death were all part of God's will. God so desired to save all people, us, that He gave His only Son to bear our sin and the punishment of our sin. But now that punishment is gone. That divine vengeance is over. And the empty tomb offers us a glimpse of heavenly joy. So angels talk to humans. And humans talk to each other, sharing the good news of what has happened. The good news for every man, every woman, and every child, that God loves you. And in love, He gave His life for you. And now, He lives. And He reigns eternally. Your God lives. So suddenly, life for these women has changed. It's become worth living. So they run from the empty tomb to tell others what's happened. They run to live fully in God's grace. So remembering can bring us more fully into the present. Now, our world will tell you differently. Our culture shakes its head at Christians when we remember the empty tomb of Easter. Our culture says, you've entered a realm of imagination. You've lost touch with reality. The Savior rising from the dead, they say. A world filled with sin and a devil and angels and demons. It's a world that's outmoded, and these strange views of creation and morality, they give you answers to questions that people don't even ask anymore. They say, too much of this, and you're not going to be able to function. You won't be able to enjoy the good life. And they say, you won't get ahead in business if you do all that love your neighbor stuff. That's the world's reaction. But Jesus' resurrection shows God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when he causes us to remember Jesus' empty tomb, he does not take from us, he doesn't take us out of this world. And he doesn't lock us up in some religious system. No. No, God sets us free. Free to experience this life today. His life. A life in His kingdom. A life that now has meaning. Today, the church remembers the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. Because this event makes the world richer. This event makes the world full of meaning. Now, all of us have sins in our past that make us fearful about going on. Maybe anger at your boss has fractured your work relationship. Or maybe gossip among your coworkers has turned friends into enemies. Or maybe ending an unwanted pregnancy began a life of horrible regret. Or a broken childhood. Or a broken marriage. Or a broken relationship with God. These troubles come to mind. We become uncertain. How can we move on? It seems as if our own past has destroyed our future. But God comes to us today and speaks to us. He says, remember. Remember my son who went to the cross for you and gave his life for you so that your sins are forgiven. And now he has risen. He rules. He reigns over this earth. And he is the author of life. Through him, you are a child of my kingdom. In him, you're a member of my family. With him, your life now has meaning. Meaning as part of my work in history. When God makes his love known to us in Jesus Christ, we're freed from sin. Freed to live in God's kingdom. Christ has arisen. Christ has defeated death. Christ has overcome that sin that used to overcome us. He is the author of life. Now and forever. And when Jesus is the author of your life, every day deepens in meaning. Now, some people think that in order to have a vibrant Christianity, The church needs to make God relevant. For them, God is some distant power out there somewhere, some deity who is far away or buried in ancient manuscripts. The church, they say, well, the church needs to bring God into the 21st century. It needs to make him relevant for people. For them, the church should first identify the needs of people and then go through the Bible to find out what we can do to make God relevant. Relevant to people's needs. If the world has people who need better self-esteem, they say, well, perhaps we should look through the Bible to find a Jesus that can give us principles for personal development. If people need a prayer life, well, let's look through the Bible to find a 5-step method for better prayer. You see, there Jesus becomes this ever-changing figure, an ever-changing fad, the latest thing to hit the market, always offering people whatever they need. And somehow, this is supposed to make God relevant. Well, I wonder about these people, because I think they've misunderstood the ways of our God. I think they've misunderstood who God is. You see, God does not need to make himself relevant to people. I'll say it again. God does not need to make himself relevant to people. He's God, after all. He rules all things. What God does, however, is he makes people relevant to him. That is what God's gracious work is. You see, he makes your life relevant to his kingdom. Now, did you notice in the gospel reading that Luke stops in the middle of the story to give us the names of these women? He writes, "Returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." So Luke stops in the middle of the story to tell you the names of these women, because these women suddenly have become somebody. They've become something. They've become witnesses to the working of God. They went to the tomb as mourners, and they come back as witnesses of the living God. They have names. They have a life experience. And believe me, they have a story to tell. When God graciously intervenes and brings people into his kingdom, it changes lives. It makes lives relevant. People are relevant. Not because of anything that's innate in them. Not because of anything that they have done. But simply, because they are God's. And God has sent his Son to save them. You see, God has his own way of reaching out into this world to touch people and save them. So your daily business is no longer just business. It's a calling. That difficult conversation you may need to have with your teenager, well, it's an occasion for a graceful speech. The fragile moments of our lives are filled with meaning beyond our own making and love beyond our own strength. In our lives, are the hands of God Himself. And in His hands, we have become part of the way God is at work in this world. So for us, as for the women, that first Easter, life becomes more meaningful because of Christ. Because Christ has risen. Because His tomb remains empty. Because He sends us forth to live in this world of His by His grace. Today, Luke proclaims His resurrection and asks us to remember. Remember the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. In Him, you are forgiven. In Him, you have new life. With Him, your life is unfolding as part of His kingdom. Yes, it's easy to get overwhelmed at Easter. That's because this love of God, it's overwhelming. Amen.